and 103.5 FM. John Justice, producer Robbie in there grabbing your phone calls, running down the top stories he thinks you need to know to start your day. If you missed that, be sure to check out the podcast in the 6 o'clock hour on the iHeart radio app. Also going to go to your phone calls at 651-989-5855. Speaking of talkbacks.
Hey, good morning, you two. I love your show. I totally agree with the special guy. I've left the Republican Party as well. I'm now a libertarian. There is no more Republican Party. They're a bunch of yahoos. Just the fact that they voted Mitch McConnell in again, and Kevin McCarthy will probably get in. They're a bunch of losers. They're political thugs, surf and turf politicians. Yuck. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
And thank you for the talk back via the iHeartRadio app. We'll have another montage from yesterday's show to share with you coming up in a while. A little later on this hour, also be talking with Rob Dorf from the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus right around 7:20. We'll get his thoughts on the next DFL-led legislative session and what gun control measures he expects the DFL are going to move forward with. And, you know, what kind of opposition can be mounted given the results of the election. Let's go and talk to Bob in Wisconsin. Good morning, Bob. Thanks for holding on. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk.
Yeah, good morning.
What's on your mind? Yeah, I'm here. What's on your mind this morning, sir?
Yeah, I have just an opinion on the 2022 election.
Sure.
Which I'd like to share. We were forecasted to have a red wave. 75% of the people in the country thought we were on the wrong track. Gas and food prices and everything else was skyrocketing.
Uh-huh.
So we have to ask ourselves the question, what happened with the red wave?
We all know
that the Dominion voting machine.
All right, I'm not going there. I'm sorry. I'm just not. He called. Bob,
no. That's on me because I should have screened that call better.
And look, I don't mind having a conversation, and I want to make this clear. We talked to Bob yesterday, okay? It's just, let me back up for just a second. Because the Dominion voting machine issue, much like a lot of the election integrity issue, has now become this thing. And it's a thing much like abortion. I don't know if we've had this conversation before on the air. I probably have at some point in time, but maybe even recently. But we've talked about a lot of things as of late. Years ago, when I first started working with the with my friend Drew, who was a host on this show, who unfortunately passed away in June, we took a cue from former host Neil Bortz. And Neil Bortz, for those that are familiar with him, he had a stance, and I agree with it. When it comes to abortion, it's one of those issues that on talk radio, you don't get anywhere with it. People have their views on abortion. There's no point in debating the issue of the actual issue of abortion because people are very solidified in their views. And we saw the example of that in this last election by how much we assume people were influenced by it and by this. When it comes to the Dominion voting machines and that particular issue, it's much the same way. You can discuss it, but we're kind of just going to go around and around and around. There's been investigations into this. They haven't yielded the results that many people expected them to yield. I'm fine with talking about voting machines breaking down like in Maricopa County in Arizona. That's interesting to me from the standpoint of what does that do for suppressing the vote, hours waiting in line to go and vote on election day. You can't go and vote somewhere else. How many people end up going home? Now, you can have a conversation about whether or not that's impactful. But when we go down the road of Dominion voting machines and what took place in this last election, look, unless you have the tangible evidence and the proof that you can present to me, it's a circular conversation. It's not going to go anywhere. So I just kind of want to lay that out. And Bob had called yesterday on this and was laying out a conspiracy theory and did not want to go there this morning. And it's all right, Robbie. I realized early on in that phone call what was happening there. Because at the end of the day, what do you want to do about it?
Yeah, exactly.
What are we? Okay, so you think the Dominion voting machines are rigged? There are people out there that have been investigating this and looking into it that have means beyond what I have and you have. So what? Where is this?
There's multi-million dollar lawsuits.
Yeah, and they didn't, unfortunately, yield anything. I'm very much of the opinion we need to move on. We need to figure out how to play the game that is laid out before us as it relates to these elections and make sure that we're electing people into office if we want to add integrity to it. But unfortunately, you know, apart from what happened in the House, we didn't do that here in the state to go and add any sort of election security. So we better start getting on board as it relates to early voting, early ballots, if we plan on winning elections in the future. And I believe that we still can here in Minnesota. All right, let's go here. I found this story really interesting in light of you look at what the left did in vilifying the right in this election. And to Bob's phone call, why did the exit polling show that people were dissatisfied with Biden's performance, dissatisfied with the economy, dissatisfied with the direction that the country was going, and yet the Democrats still had a decent midterm, even though they lost the House, they were able to stem the red wave. I think a lot of it comes down to what the left did in vilifying the right. In uncertain times, people want that which is familiar and weren't interested in making any changes. And I've mentioned this before. People adjust their lives accordingly and get very, very used to things being bad. People become very accustomed. If you get a new job and you're making less money, you make adjustments in your life to make your life as best as it can possibly be, even if you don't have nearly as much income. That's what responsible people do. That's what we all do. We all make adjustments in our lives to make it as best as we possibly can. And a lot of people just get used to things being a certain way. And then when you have a party out there that is successfully able to go and demonize the opposition as being evil incarnate, it has an impact on that. But what makes me laugh about this is in light of Biden's dark speech, democracy at stake, Walls is saying that Jensen and Matt Burke offer a dark vision for Minnesota. Yes, their Heal Minnesota campaign was so dark. People buy into this garbage, and it's perpetuated by the vast majority of the local media and the mainstream media. One Minnesota is a joke, and here is why. An election staffer for Democrat Governor Tim Walz's reelection bid took to Twitter last week to tell Matt Burke to eat blank. I edited that.
Eat Cool Whip?
It was the emoji, but they didn't use the emoji. They spelled it out.
If you missed yesterday's program, Cool Whip was a big topic.
This was following Walz's victory over Scott Jensen. Eat blank, Matt Burke. Us women like having careers and, capital letters, abortion rights just fine, wrote Kendall Whitmer on Twitter. Whitmer was alluding to remarks that Burke made following the overturning of Roe v. Wade. At the time, Burke, who ran as Jensen's lieutenant governor, told a national Right to Life event that the abortion industry was pressuring women to have careers at the expense of motherhood. He's at a national Right to Life event. He was pro-life. What did you? After criticism from left-wing media outlets like ABC's The View, Burke classified that he meant the abortion industry doesn't promote motherhood enough and instead chooses to focus solely on abortion, encouraging women to enter the workforce. Alpha News reached out to Whitmer for comment but did not receive the response. By the time the story went to print, campaign finance records showed that Whitmer was on the payroll of Walz's reelection campaign. Whitmer has been active on Twitter since Walz's victory, touting the campaign's messaging on abortion and other issues. Look, rotten, morally bankrupt people. You won the election. Look, it's petty. This is a non-issue. It's just somebody on Twitter. But it's a member of Walz's reelection campaign. And to me, it's a nice little window into the mindset of those on the left. Look, even if you are an abortion advocate, pro-lifers are advocating, certainly in their minds, something good. You know, the preservation of life. Oh, but no, Matt Burke, you eat blank, please, for your promotion of life. Just rotten individuals. Yes, but Jensen offered a dark vision for future of Minnesota. In the meantime, Minnesota Democrats are placing marijuana, abortion, and sports betting up near the top of their legislative priorities. Now, it's interesting to me because you take abortion out of the equation. You know, they're talking about codifying it, right? But you take abortion out of the equation, and I don't see a reason why the GOP can't run on those issues. I know the marijuana one tends to be controversial, but I've made my stance known on this before. Look, it's already here. You can go to the vaping studio in Hopkins. Good morning, Josh Hassing, right? In Twin Cities Cannabis. You can go to any location, buy a product that's going to be able to give you a psychotropic effect at this point in time. I mean, if that's at the core of what we're worried about with all of this, it's an inevitability at this point in time. And on the sports betting front, unless I'm missing something, I don't understand why this isn't an issue that the GOP can't get on board with.
Well, here's the thing. It has to do with money. It always has to do with money.
Of course.
And it has to do with the, and I'm not sure how to pronounce the Imdonic, the tribes that are in Shakopee. I'm not sure how to pronounce their names.
And it's a part of this here.
But I believe that they want first dibs on the sports betting. Canterbury Park is also involved, and they have an agreement that's expiring, I believe, this year, where they would sponsor some races and things and pour money into the purses that the races. Paul Allen would be a better guy to ask about this, but I'm pretty sure that it has to do with who gets a big piece of the pie, and if there would be a number of sports betting companies to come into the state. Like, you've heard of FanDuel, right?
Of course.
You've heard of BetMGM. You've heard of Caesars. Like, all these companies are going to want to hop in here. And right now, there are some parties that only want one or two, and then there's some parties that want more options. Plus, you have mobile betting as well.
So it's complicated, is what you're saying there,
very
Robbie.
Very complicated. So there's a lot of different tentacles to it, John.
Governor Walz, there's another aspect in the story too. I'll double back to this, to these particular issues here in a moment. And phone lines are open, 651-989-5855. You want to leave a talk back on this, feel free. We can play those back coming up when Rob Doerr joins us from the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus to discuss a bit of the potential for gun control legislation. But Walz was on the radio last week, not on this show. He won't come on this show. He's too afraid. Said he spoke with former Governor Jesse Ventura about the importance of making recreational marijuana legal for adults, a policy which Ventura has long supported. He brought this up back in 1998. At the time, he would have been the front end of the first states to do this. It just makes sense. Prohibition didn't work. We have to have, we have better regulation. We know what's in these things. I just mentioned that I think it would be important to recognize him and ask him if he would be there when we get this done. As a side note on this, man, the left has no shame at all. Their voters don't. Neither do their leaders. Why are we paying attention to anything that Jesse Ventura says? I don't want to open up this can of worms again. We covered it extensively when he offered up his endorsement of Walz. He was pretty clear marijuana was one of the issues on this. But let's be real here. Nobody should be taking Jesse Ventura's opinion anymore, seriously anymore, especially with all of the wacky things that he's said in the past that only on the left are you going to gain any sort of free pass on taking advice from Jesse Ventura on this. If he had gone and endorsed Jensen, we all know the windfall of articles. Probably using that term incorrectly. But the plethora of articles that would have come out. Oh,
Avalanche.
Oh, just a kooky Dr. Scott Jensen. Now it makes sense talking with nutty Jesse Ventura. But on the left, nope. He could just be credible again all of a sudden. It's a joke. It's just a joke.
I do think that cannabis will become legal here.
Absolutely.
In the very, very, very near future. And I think it's a long time coming, John.
Well, and this is what I'm wondering is, right? The governor expressed confidence Democrat lawmakers would prioritize the legislation of the legalization, excuse me, of sports betting. Previously said he would not sign a bill to that end, unless it had tribal support. The governor also said he wants to return some of the Minnesota $9 billion surplus to taxpayers in the form of rebate checks. Republicans have said they would like to return the surplus by passing permanent tax cuts instead of issuing one-time checks. But you know what? The GOP isn't going to get what they want.
No.
So I'll be curious to see what the GOP minority in the state legislature does on some of these less crucial issues. Because I think there are opportunities here to perhaps cave a bit on something, you know, like, all right, fine, we'll go along with you. We're not going to get our tax cuts. We'll go along with you with the rebate checks. We'll give that back to some people. At a bare minimum, so you have the opportunity in 2 years to go and say, hey, we were willing to work across the aisle on some of these issues.
Right, and these aren't, like, life or death
exactly.
issues.
Exactly.
Cannabis, sports betting. I mean, these are vices. They're not... You know, they're not exactly life and death stuff.
We will find out Rob Doerr's thoughts on potential for gun control legislation. I know that Melissa Hortman, Minnesota House Speaker, had said this was one of the items also they planned on working on when the legislative session resumes. We'll speak to him coming up in just a moment. Right now, though, I want to play another montage of talkbacks from yesterday's show. Your responses to the announcement that former President Donald Trump was going to be running for the presidency again in 2024.
What do you guys think of that? The idea that it's in DeSantis' self-interest to run as Trump's vice president this year. If he doesn't, and he waits next in 4 years, he very well could be competing with a Kerry Lake or some other major Republican contender, where right now it's him. He's the obvious second choice to Trump. If he runs as VP and wins, you know, he is going to be the Republican nominee for president in 4 years. If he loses, he just goes back to being the beloved governor of Florida.
I love Trump in 2016. I love Trump in 2020. I don't really like Trump in 2022. It's Ron DeSantis's time in 2024, baby. Let's go.
As much as I like what Trump did, I don't know that he can win again. We still have Trump derangement syndrome in the media and many voters. There are too many women who would rather have a senile old guy in the White House than Trump. They just go into dissonance. And I think we all forgot about Republicans for Biden. I just don't think he can win again, as much as we need his aggression there. He just can't do it.
Good morning, John. Trump, I don't believe, is not the wrong messenger, nor does he have excess baggage. That baggage was piled upon him from the Democrats. It's like the Democrats piling a bunch of false luggage onto an airplane and saying that the airplane can't fly. Let's prove them wrong and fly that plane.
Trump had 75 million votes last time around, most ever by a sitting president. He's not going to get that many. He did get a lot of votes last time, but for whatever reason, he didn't win. He's going to lose people this time that I don't think he's going to get back. And stop with the, you're fascinating to talk to and melts me like butter. We get it. It's gotten old now.
My husband, who melts me like butter.
Oh, my gosh. You are above average at that. Fam.
Hey, John. Hey, Robbie. Hey, about that divisive topic yesterday on Trump. You know, I really like the guy. I like what he did for the country. I like his policy and what he brought in, the bulldog mentality. It's all great. But you can appreciate that, but also think someone might not be reelectable. And that, I think, could be the case for this next one. People hate him just to hate him because of who he is. And, it's hard to shake up people's minds.
Good morning, guys. Special guy's right. We don't do real conservatism anymore. What we do is just to the right of the Democrat Party. So this is with the whole Big Tent thing, which I don't think Big Tent is a problem, but the way they do Big Tent is let's work with the Democrats as if let's convince ourselves that what they're doing is the right thing. It's not.
John, what you said about Malcolm going to Dathomir and joining the Night Sisters is one of the single best references I've heard in a long time on the radio. Keep up the good work.
Thank you for that.
And fire two blasts outside the house.
By shotgun. By shotgun.
You don't need machine gun. You don't need 30 rounds.
By shotgun.
Double
barrel
shotgun.
No, you don't need a flamethrower, and you don't need a tank.
You don't need an AR-15. Scare those thugs away. No, and I don't need a grenade launcher. I don't need an F-15.
Very pleased to welcome to the show and glad you can join us on short notice from the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus, Rob Dorr. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Oh, hanging in there, you.
I'm doing all right, buddy. I've been wanting to have you on the show since the results of this election and what came as kind of a surprise to a lot of people of the DFL grabbing the majority in the Minnesota state legislature. But one of the items is certainly gun control, which will be on the agenda for the DFL. And I wanted to invite you on this morning in the wake of the story we had a moment ago of the other items that are being talked about, whether it's sports betting, abortion, or marijuana legalization, and kind of get your thoughts and expectations of what you think the DFL is going to move forward on and what kind of opposition can be mounted against what they may try to move on.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting session for sure. The DFL has a very narrow majority in both the House and the Senate, and they have some senators and some representatives from northern Minnesota and areas that are traditionally pro-Second Amendment. So there is a fighting chance, but this is kind of the time that everybody really needs to buckle down and, you know, get with the organizations that they support that can work to mount an effective defense. As far as the types of bills that we'll see, we're relatively certain kind of right out of the gate we're going to see the red flag bill. Red flag laws, they package them and sell them as, you know, they keep guns out of the hands of people who are dangerous. But when you actually read the text of the bill, they keep guns out of the hands of anybody who has an accusation made against them that they might be dangerous. And that procedure happens without the person even having their day in court. So utterly due process trampling bill that we've fought year after year. And then another one that we'll probably see right out of the gate is the universal background checks, which is a form of gun owner registration, where basically they want to they want you to register with the state every time a gun changes hands. I'm not talking just about sales. I'm talking about gifts, loans, inheritance, short-term loans for hunting season. Every time that a gun changes hands, the state wants a paper record of that. So those are the things right out of the gate, but we've seen on agendas things, assault weapons bans, which, you know, ban commonly used rifles here in Minnesota, magazine limits, and even a crazy proposal to force police into your home to inspect your firearms for safe storage and charge you a fine if you're not storing them correctly.
Tinfoil hatting this a bit. You know, it would seem to me that I would think the low-hanging fruit would be most advantageous because the DFL then wouldn't lose the ability down the line to argue for other measures. You follow what I'm saying? Like I would be hesitant to think they would want to go with something too broad and sweeping just for fear. And maybe if I'm thinking too much in this, you follow the legislature closer than I do. I'm just thinking, you know, they wouldn't want to take too much off the table with the majorities that they have, because in future elections, they're going to lose the ability to go and argue, pushing for more gun control.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's kind of, we see that across multiple issues. You've noted it on immigration and abortion, and I think we can see that here, where if they actually get everything that they want, then, you know, what do they convince people needs to be done?
Exactly. So,
that's one aspect of it, but from our position is, especially in the light of the decision in Bruin, which was a Supreme Court decision affirming the right to carry, the Second Amendment affirms the right to carry arms, that it's incumbent on us to make sure that we fight against any potential infringement, because once they get a little bit in, then the public seems to think, okay, well, that wasn't a big deal, and it makes it easier for more things to pass down the line.
Your overall, I got about a minute here left, though. You do follow, you know, what happens in the legislature, and I'm just curious, with the DFL now having the majority, you think they're going to get most of what they move forward on, or do you think some of those more moderate seats, you know, might be a bit of saving grace on some of these, you know, bigger issues?
Yeah, it is. You know, it is a very narrow majority on both, so they're really going to have pretty much universal consensus. And when you look at, you know, if you look at the map of the DFL majority 10 years ago when they had the supermajority, it's blue swaths all over the state. You know, you've got the Iron Range and things like that. Right now, if you look at a map, it's almost all the blue is almost in the metro plus St. Cloud plus Rochester. Yeah, it's incredibly metrocentric, but they still need those couple greater Minnesota Democrats to go along, and for their own election and career prospects, they can't afford to go along with things that are too crazy.
Rob Dorr, for people to get up to speed on the issues with the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus, where would you like people to go?
Hey, we've got our annual banquet coming up on December 3rd. That's a great opportunity to win free guns, silent auction, get some great food, and then sign up to be on our email list so that we can keep you posted on all this craziness that's about to rear our head on starting on January 3rd. So it's gunowners.mn, or if you search Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus on Facebook and Twitter, you can find us there, gunowners.mn.
Hey, thanks for coming on such a short notice there, Rob. I really do appreciate your insight. We'll talk to you again real soon, all right?
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Coming up, the House did grab the majority. We announced it yesterday. Suddenly everybody else got on board this morning. Not by a lot. We got our 218, but, you know, thank the goodness for small victories. Next, we're going to be speaking with Congressman Tom Tiffany and Pete Stauber right here on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM
station.
A lot of what I'm hearing, I've been busy working on a show prep throughout the show this morning. So producer Robbie's been in there going through your talkbacks via the iHeartRadio app. And I'm hearing we've got a lot of passionate individuals again this morning on a myriad of issues.
Yes, we have some on the election results, some on the 2024 candidates. And
so some on sound bites that we play on the show.
Yeah, maybe they're a margarine of victory.
Nice. So we'll get to those coming up a little bit later on. Also next hour, the state of Minnesota is poised to receive $2.6 billion in federal funds over the next year for roads, bridges, and transit. We'll run through where they plan on doling this money out. We really have just lost sight of how much money $1 billion is, and I have a lot of concern. This money is not going to be spent where it should be spent. So we'll get into that next hour. Right now, though, very pleased to welcome to the show Congressman Pete Stauber and Tom Tiffany. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you so much for taking time out and joining the show this morning. It's good to talk with you.
Great to be with you, John.
So it was finally announced this morning, although we had it yesterday. I don't know what the... I don't know what the majority of the network's criteria was for calling some of these races, but the GOP finally captured the House majority that was made official by a couple of outlets today. It was yesterday. So a blunting, certainly, of President Joe Biden's agenda. Talk a bit, gentlemen, about the pathway forward with the Senate being in control by the Democrats and Joe Biden in the White House, but with the GOP having the House majority.
Well, John, it's great to be with you again. I have to tell you, we're very excited, very excited. It's on January 3rd, there's going to be a new day in America. You're going to see that commitment to America that we rolled out across the country, where we're going to put legislation that strengthens our economy. We're going to have legislation that secures and puts safety in our streets and backs law enforcement, legislation that's built upon freedoms, and, of course, we're going to be accountable to the American people. So on January 3rd, there's going to be a new day, and Nancy Pelosi's reign in the House of Representatives will be over.
Yeah, John, Tom Tiffany here. It is good news for the American people that we're going to take back the majority. No doubt, we're disappointed. We would have liked to have had a few more members across the country, but the American people sent the message that they want the House of Representatives in the hands of the other party. And, you know, one of the first things for me is what a lot of people don't realize is behind the scenes, Nancy Pelosi virtually had the House of Representatives locked down. For example, we had many bills that came to the floor, in fact, I would say most, that were under a closed rule. In other words, you can't offer any amendments. So simple things like that are going to change now that the People's House of the United States of America, the House of Representatives, is now going to be an open house, in that we are going to go about the people's business as it should be, rather than bills going straight from Nancy Pelosi's office as a speaker directly to the floor with 2 hours notice and people not being able to read those bills.
Confidence level, I mean, you know, obviously with Joe Biden in the White House, you know, getting things passed is going to be difficult. You know, so what's the thought process here? Moving forward on specifically exactly what you want, or trying to tailor certain things in, you know, an attempt to get something passed? And Pete, we'll start with you, and then Tom, you can reply to that as well.
Well, John, first off, we're going to get back to regular order, as Congressman Tiffany just said. We're going to hold committee hearings, and committees are going to be a bigger part of the legislation. That's where that sausage making in reference to legislation is made, and that becomes a good piece of legislation, because in the committee is where both the majority and the minority have a voice working together. And when a piece of legislation comes out of committee, it is a good piece of legislation, unlike what the Congressman Tiffany just described Nancy Pelosi does. There's no committee work, no hearings, no markup. We're going to get back to regular order so the majority and minority can work together.
To me, John, there's two things that we should be doing. One is, as Representative Stauber was saying, getting legislation done. But the other critical part that we need to do, the second track of our agenda, needs to be oversight. I sit on the Judiciary Committee, and Americans are deeply disturbed about this dual system of justice we have in America, where the FBI goes after certain people depending upon what their political philosophy is. For example, parents at school boards and going to school board meetings. People are really tired of that, and that's our job of doing the oversight as a committee. And I think the Judiciary Committee is going to be a key committee to get back to our fundamental freedoms that all Americans expect but have been increasingly denied over the last few years.
You know, there still is obviously quite a bit of discussion over why the Republicans didn't do better in these midterm elections. I know that there was quite a bit of redistricting that was done around the country. And Pete, we'll start with you. You know, sort of top of your list of why the elections turned out the way that they did. There's a lot of talk of messaging, a lot of talk of candidates, also talk of the redistricting and redrawing of the lines. I'm curious, we'll start with you, Pete Stauber. Your thoughts on sort of the bigger takeaways as to the performance, the overall performance of the GOP in the midterms.
I think for me, the opportunity to legislate from the majority side and put those pieces of legislation that benefit the American people is going to be a priority for us. Now, of course, that we wished we had had a bigger majority, but the fact is we don't. It looks like we're going to have the same majority that Nancy Pelosi has today. And so you can govern that way, and you can bring, we want to be able to bring good legislation across the finish line. It may not be a, you know, a perfect piece of legislation, but it's going to move the country forward. For instance, we want to become energy independent and critical mineral dominant. I'm going to be chairing the mining committee, which is the energy and minerals, which involves oil and gas and critical minerals. That is going to be a very, very big committee this legislation session, and I'm looking forward to making sure we become energy independent and critical mineral dominant, especially what we have in northeastern Minnesota. We have the opportunity right now, John, to secure a supply chain dependency and allow us to mine those critical minerals safely with the best environmental and labor standards in the world.
You know, John, I think that we win as conservatives when we are bold and when we focus on policy. When we get focused on personalities, that is where sometimes things go awry. And that's why we really have to be focused on policy. And that's what I'm hoping our leadership will do in this session, is that we're going to set out a series of issues, whether it's like Pete was referring to in regards to energy independence, the cost of living, let's rein in inflation, let's have Let's get back to fiscal responsibility. Let's secure the southern border. I mean, those are 70% issues, and if we stay focused on those issues and talk to the American people about it, that's how we win, and that's one of the things we have to do. You kind of alluded to a little bit in regards to a few of the states around the country in regards to their redistricting, mm-hmm. and I always chuckle because they say, well, your Republicans only have the majority in the state legislature in Wisconsin because of redistricting. No, it's because you're so packed in the cities in Milwaukee and Madison. People are not voting for these progressive Democrats out in rural Wisconsin. But when you look at Illinois, where their governor won with, like, what, 53% of the vote, and they have a 14-3 map, Democrats over Republicans, when you have Nevada, which went 3-1, which is basically a 50-50 state, and also California. When you look at that, no Democrat should ever whine about redistricting after what they did in those three states.
And again, Pete, we'll start with you, and then Tom, I'm curious to get your thoughts just on this particular issue and more of a sort of a broader statement, something we've talked about here on the show, certainly with the results that happened here in Minnesota, where we were expecting, you know, to do a lot better than we did. But, you know, everybody looks at that map of Minnesota and you just see this, you know, you see mostly red. And then you see these small, concentrated areas of blue. And I know that I know the reason why that is, population density. I get it. You see it around the country when you look at the map of the United States. Is there tactically something that we should be doing better? Are we doing what needs to be done? We need to focus on other aspects of the election process. I just know that every single time we go through a situation like this, we hear from the listener, and I see it too, and they kind of go, what can we do about those concentrated blue areas? And Pete Stauber, we'll start with you.
Well, John, let's go back just a couple of years ago. Minnesota's 8th congressional district was blue. We've flipped it, and we're flipping House and Senate seats within the district. So that should tell you something. That conservative message, those traditional values and beliefs that America was founded on are present and supported up in the 8th congressional district. So you're seeing these districts flip, not only the in Congress. You know, I've been elected now three times.
Sure.
Historically, it's never happened. So you look at, we get our message out, we talk to the people, we work on legislation that benefits the American people, keeps them safe, allows us to live affordably, have a secure nation. Those are things that those are 70 or 80% issues across the board. And that's what we're talking about to our constituents, not only in northern Minnesota, but throughout Minnesota.
Yeah, I think there's a number of facets to this, John, but I will focus on one, and I'm going to step out on a limb a little bit in regards to Minnesota, because we saw it in Wisconsin back in 2010 when I was first elected to the state legislature. Republicans, conservatives, libertarian thinking people that want to have limited government, they're going to have to decide if they're going to all get along and build a coalition party that can win a majority of seats. When you see this fracturing that goes on, and it's good to have good, robust debate, but at the end of the day, people have to come together in regards to the candidates that they're putting forward, and that's not always happening. And, you know, sometimes I guess you got to be out in the wilderness long enough that you decide that you are going to build that coalition government. We did that in Wisconsin in 2010. The people of Wisconsin were rewarded with nearly a decade of good governance here in the state of Wisconsin. That really needs to happen in both states, and I'd say in particular in Minnesota. They're going to have to decide, are we going to build a party that can win statewide elections? And that means you got to go into the Twin Cities and turn some hearts and minds and get people to vote for you.
Well, Pete Stauber and Tom Tiffany, thank you for the time this morning. I know it was a sigh of relief for me and for the individual listening to see the GOP grab the House and at least be able to blunt and hopefully move forward on the aspects of what you guys are planning on doing in the House moving forward. And I thank you so much for the time this morning, gentlemen.
Thank you.
651-989-5855. All right, we have one more montage from yesterday's show of talkbacks of individuals chiming in on former President Donald Trump's announcement to run for the presidency again in 2024. I know we have some more talkbacks coming up.
Oh, do we ever.
Robbie's been in there diligently working. So let's go ahead and take care of this last round of talkbacks from yesterday's show.
If they run Trump again, we'll lose. They could beat us with Fetterman and Kamala. Trump's not melting anybody like butter. He can't do it. We'll lose.
John, I have to agree with you on this one. I don't know if Donald Trump can win this next time around. He lost to Joe Biden. A lot of people voted for Joe Biden because they can't stand Trump. And Donald Trump, his personality and his ego, it's not getting any better, and his ego is just getting bigger. I don't think he can win next time, and I kind of hope we decide to go a different route. Probably the same.
My God, these idiots are going to make sure there's four more years of Democrat rule. Trump is too old. He can only serve for 4 years, and the dude cannot make an argument. Put all of his baggage aside. He can go in and he can do scorched earth for 4 years, and that's all he can do. And then he's done, and he's out, and then the Republicans are going to be left holding the bag for God knows how long after that. We need a torchbearer for the conservative message, somebody that can get in there, expand the party, win hearts and minds, and serve for 8 years. Trump ain't it.
Hi, John. I'm another idiot. I am 65, not a businessman. I watched the interview with Mike Pence the other night, and after hearing that interview, I believe he is an honorable man. He talked about January 6th from his perspective. I like Trump. I love Trump, but I'm having second thoughts. I don't know. I don't know if I could vote for him in a primary.
Hey, guys. This is Matt in Burnsville. In my view, this is pretty simple. If Donald Trump can admit that he lost in 2020, I'll consider supporting him. If he can't, then he's just still too weak to get back in the Oval Office. We need someone that is a lot stronger than what he has proven to be lately.
Coming up, we will get into Minneapolis is, Minnesota is about to receive $2.6 billion in federal funds over the next year for roads, bridges, and transit. I'll tell you where that money is going to be spent. Before we get to that, though, Minneapolis is considering an ordinance to protect abortion clinic driveway entrances.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Above average.
And Robbie has some talkbacks that apparently you do not want to miss, and I have not had the opportunity to hear yet.
Oh, and you won't until we hear them on the air.